On this show, we love to get excited about entrepreneurship, even the boring and hard parts. And I know just how difficult it can be. When it comes to the work of selling my books and managing my writing career, look, I'm a small business, and I love it. I love writing, I love talking to people, but I don't love the paperwork, and oh man, there's a ton of it. Every January, I promise myself I'm going to get on top of it for the new year, and this will be the year that I get ahead of tax season. But like my goal to wake up and go for a brisk run and do 400 push-ups, somehow it just never seems to happen. Instead, I find myself scrambling, delaying, and have to search around for invoices. But this year will actually be different. Gusto is online payroll and benefits software built for small businesses. It's all-in-one, remote-friendly, and incredibly easy to use, so you can pay, hire, onboard, and support your team from anywhere. They offer automatic payroll tax filings, simple direct deposits, health benefits, commuter benefits, workers' comp, 401k. They've got it all. Gusto makes it simple and has options for nearly every budget. And it's quick and simple to switch to Gusto. Just transfer your existing data to get up and running fast. Plus, you don't pay a cent until you run your first payroll. Try Gusto today at gusto.com/HSH and get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. That's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/HSH. One more time, gusto.com/HSH. Hello and welcome to another snack size edition of our show, How Success Happens, where every week we are sipping from a sweet mug of inspiration. Now, besides that being the worst Hallmark Christmas movie title of all time, maybe it stars Lacey Chabert as a high-powered lawyer who goes back home to save the small town's library and falls in love, or I don't know, whatever. Sipping from the sweet mug of inspiration, trademark that. It's also a great lead-in to this week's guest, Sahan Dil Maghani, who is the founder and CEO of Terra Cafe, a company that makes high-end coffee machines and roasts the beans that go inside them. Now, Sahan joined me for an exclusive webinar for Entrepreneur Plus subscribers, and I love so much of what he had to say that I just had to get it out from behind the paywall and share it with you. That's how much I love you. Now, Sahan had me at coffee, despite the fact that I always sound like I'm half asleep. I don't know, I probably down like 6 or 7 cups a day, but that is nothing compared to Sahan. Dude drinks like 12 cups of coffee a day. So when I asked him how his sleep was, he asked me, "What is sleep?" I really feel like we could be best friends. So Sahan actually sent me one of his machines to try out, which is called the Demi. And this is not a paid endorsement, but man, I love it. I love it more than my children and my dog combined. Please don't tell them. None of those people or dogs listen to this podcast, so they won't know. It looks cool. It makes a mean cup of drip coffee or espresso drinks, and I really want to marry it. So I probably had one too many cups before recording this, which may be amping up my usual dial of insanity. So let's get to Sahand and his advice. Now, the first thing I asked him was, what's something he thinks that not enough entrepreneurs do when they are in the thick of it, when they're launching, fighting for survival, that kind of thing? And he said that he thinks the most valuable thing, and the thing that is so very hard to do when you're in the middle of fighting for your life, is hitting the brakes.
I think that one of the things that really helped early on was, I think you need to create passive time to actually plan. And it's really easy to say that, and it's really hard to do that. But even if that's 15 minutes, 30 minutes time blocking, where you have passive time that you don't have a strict agenda, which actually allows you to zoom out, I think is critically important to be able to map out exactly where the business needs to be to be able to get to the desired outcome. And sometimes, you know, that can sound incredibly nebulous. Like, all right, desired outcome, you know, plan out the business. What are you talking about? But I think it's actually a lot of times that exercise of looking at, you know, the eventual steady state that you want to arrive at, and then working backwards and setting up milestones of what it would take to ultimately get there, right? So whether or not that is a capitalization target or a resourcing target you would need to get to the next milestone, or alternatively, you know, looking at the resources you have and seeing how you want to set up or stack rank prioritization to be able to get to a product launch, to get to a new retail relationship, to get to some sort of discrete outcome that you've mapped out.
So Han gave so much great advice during our chat and interaction with the webinar attendees. Oh, so by the way, go to info.entrepreneur.com/subscribe and you can sign up and get invited to these free webinars where you can ask questions directly to people who have been there and done that, made the mistakes, made the right moves, learn from them. info.entrepreneur.com/subscribe. Anyway, I lost my point. Oh yeah, my point. So he gave such great advice, and I wondered what was the best advice that he ever got.
There is something someone told me once that I do really appreciate, and that perfect is the enemy of good and perfect is the enemy of done. And sometimes not necessarily, like, you can have your idea of what the perfect outcome is. I think being at peace with what, you know, solving a problem, maybe it's not the ideal outcome that you would have wanted. But again, it goes back to that whole, it's not about making the right decision, it's about making the decision right. Exactly how you've laid it all out is not going to be how things work out. And then I think a lot of times we want these things to have this perfect go-to-market or this perfect, I would have loved to have a huge marketing budget and have a huge splash with a 360-degree marketing campaign and a celebrity endorsement and billboards and digital ad, like, that would have been amazing. Yeah. And I think about, oh my God, could you imagine us swinging into 2021 with all of that behind us? What a huge tailwind that, could have been. Not necessarily fixating on that. And frankly, again, it's like perfect is the enemy of good and perfect is the enemy of done, is just keep looking, you know, at each foot in front of the other. It's good to look at the bigger picture, but frankly, sometimes zooming in is just as important as zooming out.
So Sahand has a product, and I asked him about that process of getting it in front of customers. Obviously, you could have the greatest thing on earth, but if no one knows it exists, you're not going to have much of a business. And I love what he said, because it wasn't just about, you know, buying social media ads and seeing what happened. He went out and knocked on the doors of stores he thought should sell his machines.
So the early days of this company was as unglamorous as it sounds. It was having two prototypes, carrying them around New York City, knocking on doors, getting to build relationships with various brick and mortar retailers that we believed were aligned to us from a branding perspective, from a design perspective, from a values perspective, where we thought would be a good beachhead to being able to build relationships with prospective customers, or what we would hope would become prospective customers, to learn what their reception to the product was. And that includes the whole gamut. That's, you know, it's what they liked, it's what they loved, it's what they hated. You know, I wanted to learn everything about what their initial reception was to the first machines that we had produced in the first year of business, to really iterate almost more in an agile software-like manner on the product design and the features, to make sure when we did go to market that we had a very strong understanding of where we were resonating with people. So that's not even necessarily to say where on a pre-purchase journey what the variables were that were most important to them, but the things that resonated with them the most. And the one thing that we really quickly identified was that people, one, were looking for an alternative to the pod-based system, so validating the kind of origin of the thesis. Two, identifying the importance of milk-based beverages in the early days. So knowing that latte became the most ordered drink across the country, seeing that kind of corroborated in the adoration and just fervent enthusiasm behind the ability to automate all coffee and milk-based beverages. So flat whites, lattes, cortados, you name it. Seeing the reception of that, and then of course the overall design language. So it was very, very rudimentary in terms of how we got started. It was truly just pounding pavement, guerrilla marketing. And then, you know, you knock on 50 doors, invariably, you know, two or three of those locations are going to say, sure, come this weekend, serve coffee to our weekend crowd.
And finally, I asked him about his mindset. What, besides, you know, bucket loads of delicious caffeinated drinks, keep him going during tough times, during those inevitable rough patches that all entrepreneurs will face?
I mean, I'm a strong believer in you don't need to have everything solved. You need to believe everything is solvable. You need to be able to widen your aperture. Like, it's the name of the game. You will get punched in the face so many times. And yes, you do need to have a bit of balance and equanimity. And it's the amount of things that we've navigated through that I think would make most people's, you know, heart rate look like the EKG of a, you know, the heart attack. It's like, it is incredibly challenging. Something that you should also be doing is that people can speak up and be like, hey, we have to figure this out. This is really tough. I really think it's hard to have a very clear recipe because it's a very personal thing in terms of how you set aside time to just exercise stoicism through that and stay calm. But there's also a certain amount of like, I can just tell you kind of get used to it after a certain amount of time. I choose to kind of reorient things into thinking of them like a puzzle, like it's a challenge. Like you just have to figure it out. And if someone out there enjoys solving puzzles, then certainly I think that it's a helpful reframe instead of just feeling like everything is this gargantuan Herculean effort that's insurmountable. I think it's just trying to solve the things because ultimately you're allocating resources and time and energy to address problems, but virtually everything in front of you is solvable. And just remembering that, I think going back to that is the most important thing.
All right, there you have it. Time to run out there and tackle some problems. Just don't spill your latte while you're doing it. Thanks so much for listening. And as always, if you like this show, please subscribe. You get 2 a week. And while you're on your app of choice, why not throw us a star rating? Leave us a comment. Come on. And if you're in the subscribing mood, subscribe to our newsletter. Go to info.entrepreneur.com/HSH and you will have the chance to answer the big question of the week, and the best answer will get read on this show. All right, you can also check out my Substack. This should be fun for more silliness from me. And if you're digging the sweet, sweet sounds of our theme song, check out Nika RPM on Bandcamp. All right. Drink it all down. It'll make you feel good, and I'll see you next week.
Step into 2026 with a home you can call your own. With shared ownership at Latimer Homes, you can reserve your new place for just £26 before the 26th of January. Shared ownership offers a more affordable route onto the property ladder, making your dream of owning your own home a reality. Begin your next chapter today at latimerhomes.com. T's and C's apply.